I'm going to read from Romans 5, starting at the first verse. It has a title, Faith. Faith brings joy. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So, now, we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. The Word of God.
So we're switching gears a little bit today, and we'll be talking a little bit about faith. Yesterday we had this incredible service for my mother. And I watched the people around in the service, and there are different states of in the grieving process. And I realized that one of the things that made me different from some of the others was my faith and my trust in God. To know that he had a plan, what is required, and that my mom had stepped into what, well, she accepted Jesus. And so that brought me joy. Now, it wasn't that I didn't lose it during the slideshow. But then I was able to get it. I did pretty good, I thought, actually. And then, of course, the taps at the end, it always gets me. But I was able to share about, because I've been talking, we've been sharing about in these little praying for five. And one of the things that we do is we pray for doors to be opened in our relationship with God. And I didn't know what I was going to share with these people because I was doing a big part of the service. Not a big part, but the message part of the service, and I didn't know what to share. And I've been struggling for almost 2 weeks with, what do I share? I mean, I can talk about my mom, but what could I talk about my mom and the relationship with Christ? Because I continually pray for an open door. And I want to know when that door is open that I will faithfully step through it. And I realized that my mom was probably the biggest example of living grace, this grace. Well, she had me as a son, so she had to have a little bit of grace, wouldn't she? Because no matter what I did, she always forgave us. And of course, I woke up about, I don't know, it was probably about 4:30 on yesterday morning, and God just shared this message of grace with me. And so I got to share it with all those people. I had this wonderful opportunity to share with these people about in John chapter 8, how Jesus, well, I'll just share with you just a little bit. I won't go into the whole thing, but all the legal eagles had found this woman caught in adultery. And it was their custom in that day, if they were caught, basically it was a death sentence to be stoned to death. And so they were in the number one, they wanted to get rid of her and punish her, but they also wanted to usurp Jesus and get him out of his authority, and they just kind of wanted to debunk him. So they brought this woman caught in adultery and stand her before Jesus and said, "So what do you think we should do with her?" And they knew what they wanted to do with her. They knew what their law said. And Jesus is just down there drawing in the dust. And they were just kind of persistent. And finally, Jesus just said, "You know, whichever one of you is without sin, which one of you is perfect, then you go ahead and fulfill your law and you throw that first stone at her." And then Jesus bent over and continued to write in the dirt, the dust. And slowly, in that awkward silence, one by one they traipsed off. Until all it is Jesus knelt over, continued to write. And this woman who knew she was facing certain death when she was caught, now she's before Jesus just standing there. And Jesus just looked at her and said, "So where are all these people who were accusing there? Did none of them stick around? Are none of them here to condemn you?" And he says, "I don't condemn you either. So go and sin no more." And for me, that is just one of the most wonderful stories of grace, because it is knowing that I have done something that I deserve a punishment for, and I am forgiven, not because of anything that I have done, but because somebody loves me so much that they're willing to let it go. And that's what Jesus does for us. And that's what my mom lived. I don't know how she did it. I tried to think back of when she held on to a grudge or anything like that. Of course, she grumbled once in a while. But I want some of that. I want to be able to forgive and to go on. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I hold on to things. And somebody will say something and it reminds me of that, and then all of a sudden I'm mad all over again. I'm frustrated again. But then I believe that God's bringing me closer in that direction. And I have faith that God has this works that's going on within each and every one of us. Even me, that is drawing me closer to Him, that is shaping more in His image, that is giving me more patience, that is making me more tolerant. I'll never be perfect here in this world, but I'll continue to work to get closer to Him. And I have that faith. And faith is what makes me different from other people. I have met people whose faith is greater than mine, that I seek after to find. I pray all the time, "God, increase my faith." And then I find others who just don't understand this faith that I have in this God they can't see, in this Jesus they don't know. So that one of the first scriptures is Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. And it's in the little paper that was in your bulletins, or you can look in your Bible. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, that conviction of things not seen, for by it men of old gained approval." Faith is pist, that conviction of truth, that reliance upon Christ for salvation, assurance, and belief. That faith that I just know. And I cannot force my faith on anyone else. I can't make them understand my faith. They have to live their faith. They have to get into it. They have to trust in it, because you can't make anybody's faith increase. You can't give anybody faith. It's a relationship between them and Christ, and it's something that they have to be willing to step into. You just can't give it to them. And they just can't sometimes understand. How can you trust? Like, some of them would have heard me praying about the storm and God being in control, and they would have known about the death toll and the destruction that's happened over on the East Coast. And they're thinking, how can you trust this God when all of this is happening? But I trust him and know that there's something more than what we can see, what we can hear. I know there's more going on. I know that there's lives being changed. I know that God is working, and I just don't understand it. And that's okay. You know, Jesus in his teaching, he let us know that we're not going to understand everything. But we keep seeking, we keep growing, and we have faith. So what do you hope for? What do you believe or stand on? And what does it look like in your life? See, because I have a lot of people, and probably you have people in your lives that say, I have great faith. I believe. So what does it look like in their lives when they really believe? And what does it look like in their lives when they say, well, I believe, but they don't look like they believe? What is it to say that I believe and live in fear? What does it say I have faith, but I don't trust? So it's an action in our lives. What does it look like in your life? What does it look like in your life? I shared to you before that I used to literally, in my 20s, cry myself to sleep because I was afraid of dying. That's not very good faith. And then when I accepted Jesus and I gave it over to him, I don't understand all of it, but I trust in him and I don't have that fear anymore. I don't cry myself to sleep anymore. Well, except maybe after a Mariners game, but faith, it changes our lives. It changes the way that we act. It changes the way that we see. It changes the way that we treat people. In Proverbs chapter 3 at verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. That word trust, batak, means boldly and confidently. So to trust in the Lord is, I mean, we think of, you know, you trust is like giving him something. And maybe you do give something. But it's also this bold and confident manner in which you give it to him, in which you trust him. It's like, I'm not afraid of anybody to see them watch me praising God. I'm not afraid of them seeing me give this to God. I'm not afraid. I'm not concerned. I'm going to do it because he wants me to do it. And I really don't care who hears or who sees. I trust in him. You know what? When I go to the restaurant, I'm not going to do this because I don't want to disturb anybody. That's kind of like some kind of ritual, just going through the motions. But I'm actually going to give praise. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to give thanks. And I'm not concerned that people hear me say Jesus in public. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to be bold about it. I'm going to be confident. I'm not going to be obnoxious about it, though. I'm not going to get done with my prayer and say, hey, why aren't you praying over there? You guys are going to get sick. You're going to have a stomach ache. Boldly and confidently give God your heart completely. Do not base your life on what you can figure out or do. In everything you say or do, look to God and allow him to guide you in your life, in your happiness, in your peace, in your love. Faith and trust, they go together. to believe that God sent his son to die for us and that each one of us have the opportunity for salvation. If we trust and believe in him, not only will we have a place in heaven, but it'll guide us here on earth. So faith is an action word. It's something that we have to do something about. It's just like love. We can't just say we love everything. Love is an action word. Love guides how we treat people, how we listen to people, how we treat ourselves. The same thing with faith. Faith is an action word. It means stepping out. It means doing things differently. It means listening to God, doing what he wants you to do. It means that when we're doing something in our life and the word says, stop doing that, then we stop doing it. And then when we can't stop doing it because it just keeps coming up and we want to stop doing it, we realize in the word that God said, Jesus said he'd send the Holy Spirit, that through the Holy Spirit, through that power, that we could overcome, that we could achieve. So when we can't do it on our own, that faith says that we rely on him and he removes whatever it is from us that we're having a problem with. I was reading in one of my books, it said that there was a storm off this coast and it looked like everybody on this boat was going to die. I mean, the waves were crashing, the rocks are right there. You hear the thunder and everybody's just afraid. Finally, this one man had the courage to go up and check in the wheelhouse to see what was going to, he was going to ask the captain, the pilot, what was going on. And when he went up there, the captain of the ship, the pilot, was lashed to the steering wheel. And he had his hands on the steering wheel and he was fighting to keep the ship straight. But when he looked over at the guy, he smiled. And so this guy walked down to everybody else and says, we're going to be all right. Because I went up to the captain and when he looked at me, he smiled. And I thought, to really trust is to be confronted by the storms in life and know that all is going to be okay because God is smiling on us. That Jesus is smiling to us. So what does faith do for us? Well, you heard Greta. She read in Romans verses 1 through 11 in chapter 5. And I took just a few excerpts out of there that we'll talk about. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified, just or innocent, to be free, to be righteous. It's a big word in Christianese. Are you justified? We used to always teach our kids, justified, just as if I had never sinned, justified. Through Jesus Christ, we're justified, we're made free, we're set free. It was probably one of the things that changed my life more than anything in the very beginning, because to be justified means that every bad thing that I had been holding on to, that I had done, that I couldn't forget, all my past, the harmful things that I did, the things that were like this heavy backpack full of sand on my back that I'd been dragging around, when I came to faith and believed in Jesus Christ, I really believed that everything in my past, when I asked him to forgive me, it was let go. I was justified. It was just as if I had never sinned. I was freed. And I believe for all of us that when we ask him, when we give him the past, when we give him the garbage, that we are justified, that we are freed. And that sense of relief afterward, it was like this light switch went on. And I'm kind of like thinking to myself, why didn't I do this sooner? This feels a lot better than how it felt the other way. The other way is like being afraid to answer the phone because I was afraid it was another bill collector. This way, it was like I was excited to answer the phone because maybe it'll be somebody I like. And that peace, that quietness, that rest. To be justified of sin is to be cleansed from it through the blood of Jesus. And if you truly have faith, believe that Jesus has the power to forgive your sins, then you open the door to be free from guilt, hurt, anger. I just imagine we can take the hurt, the guilt, the weight, and the anger, and we can trade it for peace and quietness and rest and love with God. It sounds like a no-brainer, doesn't it? Then why are so many people hanging on to the guilt, the hurt, the anger? It's what I saw yesterday. And the only thing that made me any different is just knowing the faith and knowing that He has the power to forgive. I'll take that peace and quietness, that rest any day. And further down it says, and love and hope does not disappoint. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given us. And this word for hope, when I think about hope, it's like you're hoping for something. You're hoping to get something. You're hoping that the check comes in the mail today. You're hoping that whatever happens. Well, this word for hope is a little stronger than that. It's more of a anticipation and expectation, a confidence. So when you're hoping in Him, it's really saying you're just waiting for Him to do what He promised to do because you know that He is going to do it. So it's this hoping in Him is not like, well, I hope if God has time today, He's going to work that miracle. I hope if God has time today, He'll listen to me. I just hope. Well, it's going to prayer in hope, and that means that I'm going to prayer because I know that He's going to meet with me. I just don't know how He's going to do it. He's going to speak with me. He's going to listen to me. It's going to be in this incredible time together. It's this anticipation. It's this expectation. It's this confidence of knowing that it's going to happen. We just don't know how He's going to do it. And then that love, the unconditional love, agape. God's love. The world would love you to believe that God is just setting you up for one disappointment after another. And there's no hope in God, just in what you can accomplish on your own. But when you receive that unconditional love of God, you will not know disappointment. You'll be too full to have room for any disappointments. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given us. When we receive the Holy Spirit, I used to think that it was kind of like a little bit at a time. I accept the Holy Spirit and he'll take over maybe this little part of my heart right here. And I'll take a little bit more of him, maybe he'll take over this part. But then I realized that when I accepted Jesus, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I was filled of the Holy Spirit. And when He goes in and He fills you, when God comes in, when the Holy Spirit fills you, it leaves no room for anything else. When I am His, I am His. When He fills me, He fills me. And the other incredible thing is not only am I full, but it's coming out my ears. It's coming out my mouth. It's coming out in how I treat people, how I talk, how I listen, how I see. It just comes out. As I'm filled, the people around me are touched. As I am changed, they're changed. For while we were still hopeless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God has this perfect, incredible timing. It happens just the way He wants it, when He wants it, how He wants it. There is a story. These two ladies are talking. I wish that you'd go with me to see my doctor, a lady said to her friend who was in declining health. I'm almost positive that he could cure you if you'd go to him right now. Well, the other lady said, well, wait till I feel better, and then I'll go with you. She looked up and said that with a kind of pale smile. But I said a physician, the friend explained somewhat impatiently. It is because you are sick that I wanted you to go see him. But the sick lady said, I believe everything you say about him, but I want to get my body, my system toned up a little before I go see him, because I don't think he can do anything with me until I get a little bit stronger, a little bit more healthy. You know, we'll never be good enough. We'll never be worthy. But the free gift of Jesus will always be there for us. But all the time I hear people, church would cave in if I came to your church. People would be shocked if they saw me walk in the doors. Lightning would strike me if I just walked in there. It's this attitude that I need to get to a certain place in my life before I'm ready to come to God, because God won't accept me as I am. For while we were still hopeless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, because we're dirty, we're sinful, that we need Jesus. If we wait till we're cured, we'll never go to Jesus. We go to Him so that He cleanses us. He renews us. He restores us. He heals us. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need Him. But it's because of our wonderful imperfections that we need Him. So how many of us do the same thing? We need Jesus in our lives, but we want to wait till we're better people so that we can accept Him, so that we can be worthy. I told you before that a few years ago when I was considering going into the ministry, it was like God called me, but I was considering it. I didn't want to be a pastor because I wasn't good enough. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't righteous enough. There's nobody who is. So I said, God, I'll be a deacon. Because I was afraid to be. And there's the same call on both of them. It's the same requirements. It's the same God. It's the same grace. It's the same. It's just one is called with different talents. And I don't know how long it was. I was miserable. Julie was miserable. Because I just didn't want to do it. And then one day I realized that, you know, I can't be who God wants me to be unless God changes me and does what He wants. But if I'm waiting for me to get that way, it'll never happen. But if I trust in Him, ever since that time, I've had no problems with the muscular dystrophy. I've had no problems, very rarely, with the stuttering, unless I say something to embarrass myself. But He's been good enough to do everything that He wants me to do. And I don't have perfect grammar. I'm not a silver-tongued orator. But what I do have is the living Word and the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. And I have a heart, even though sometimes, just like all of us do, I kind of go my own path. I stray off a little bit. I continually coming back to Him and seek Him. And then that last little one there, it says, but God demonstrates His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were out there swearing or being angry or yelling or carousing or stealing or whatever it was, whatever we were doing, while we were doing that, God loved you so much that He sent His Son, and His Son died for you to bring you back into a relationship with Him. A young boy was asked to describe what forgiveness was. And his answer was, it is the odor that flowers breathe after they're trampled. I think that's pretty cool. You know, you step on the flower and they get up that wonderful scent after they're bruised and trampled. Jesus Christ, He died for us. So as I saw those people, I realized that the same God prepared for all of us. The same Jesus, He died for all of us. The same gift, forgiveness, the same grace, it was for all of us. The only thing that changed us is what? Some knew and believed, and some didn't. And thank you, God, that through your grace, through your love, I believe. And I have faith. And I know that if it's for me, it is for all. I just feel called to stop right here and to have a word of prayer. Because maybe you've been struggling, or maybe one of the five or so, or however many you're praying, are struggling. The power of prayer, it not only changes our life, but intercessory prayer, praying for others, it changes their lives. We were at a service yesterday. And when my grandma, she was one of the charter members of Trinity Church in Nazarene in Yakima. When she started in there, she was basically the only true believer in the Hunt family. Now we have five ministers just for that, from her the prayers and just her interceding. So whoever it is this morning, lift him up to God. Lift yourself up to God. Receive what he has for you. Trust in him. Be filled of the Holy Spirit and realize that when you're filled and when he uses you, there's absolutely nothing that he cannot or will not do.